Good morning. A little bit more crowded up here right now, but that's good because then we have a projector that isn't going to bow out on me halfway through the sermon or before the sermon. But this is a picture that was taken from an airplane of a rainbow from the upper level. Now, I like to look at rainbows. Ever thought that God's looking at it too? Next time that multicolored spectrum of beauty bends over the landscape, take time to view it in the light of God's promise to Noah. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature, Genesis 9:16. The rainbow is a reminder of God's gracious pledge that he would never again destroy the earth with water. So next time you see a rainbow, remember God's abundant mercy and grace. The rainbow has been usurped by some for their political desires and means, but the rainbow is really a reminder of God and his grace and his mercy. This wasn't what I was going to preach about this morning, but I had this picture, and I like to, when I put my PowerPoint up on the screen, I like to have a nice picture in the background, and this came up, and so that came to mind, that the rainbow is something about our Lord God and his grace and his mercy towards us. But we're looking this morning at our unchanging God. Our unchanging God. Our world is rapidly changing. Its pace seems to be constantly increasing. In 1901, one could ride through a town on a horse at about 4 miles per hour. Today, with high-speed cars in a city like Seattle or Milwaukee, at rush hour, you can sometimes go 4 miles an hour. Some things don't change, do they? But too much change creates stress. Dr. Thomas Holmes has said there are 43 different things that create stress in life when change takes place. 43 different things. When they build up in your life, you'll be in trouble. Elvin Toffler wrote about how people are looking for security. When everything else is changing, people look for stability in their lives. So the question becomes, is there anything in the world that is permanent? Is there anything that is reliable that never changes? The answer is found throughout the scriptures, but in James chapter 1 and verse 17, we read, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." J.B. Phillips paraphrased that by, "With God, there is never the slightest variation or shadow of inconsistency." And today I want us to look at what theologians call immutability, and that's the last time you're going to hear that word from me this morning. But that's a fancy theological term that simply means God never changes. And we read in Malachi 3:6, "I, the Lord, do not change. He is always the same, he always has been, and he always will be. Because God is perfect. He can't get any better, and he can't get any worse." Therefore, he'll never change. Now, we're imperfect because we do change. Everything else in creation changes except God. Have you noticed that you are constantly changing? You only have to look in the mirror or look at a picture that was taken 5 years ago. Bob Dylan used to sing, the times they are a-changin'. One wag wrote this. He said, I'd say the lines they are a-changing. The hairline, the waistline, the credit line. We always change in the way we act, the way we think, the way we look, and the way we talk. But God never changes. Change creates stress in our lives. And I want you to know how to stabilize your life in the midst of change. We're going to focus on three things about God that never changes. They add stability. They're things that we can always count on. And to Father, as we look to you and what your word says about you, I pray that you will help us to realize that we can depend on you. We can look to you because you never change. You are consistent. You are the one that we can rely upon. Help us to understand that more fully this morning than ever before. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God's love for me never changes. His love for me never changes. Jeremiah 31:3, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You were created to be loved by God. You are an object of God's love. God's love is consistent and it is continual. One reason we get frustrated is because people are fickle, every one of us. We change from one day to the next. You're not the man that I married. My sweet child has become this rebellious teenager. I don't even recognize him anymore. Unpredictable, inconsistent. That causes stress. The Bible says that God never changes and he never acts out of his character. Psalm 119:15 says, your love never changes, so save me. Nobody should ever say, what's God got into God today? God never changes. He is always himself. The point is, I never need to doubt God's love. No matter what happens, no matter what I do, no matter what I feel, God's love for me never changes. Romans 8:39 says, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Did you get that word? Nothing. You can go to bed tonight and get up tomorrow morning, and God has not changed his mind about you while you were sleeping. Now, I have to admit it, some days I'm grumpy and cranky and frustrated about things that haven't gone as I had planned. One of the things was my computer. I signed up for this thing called OneDrive that Microsoft has, and you'll be able to access your files anywhere you are on whatever instrument that you're using. Well, OneDrive took my files. I mean, they took my files. They're no longer on my computer. And that's all of my sermons. Sometimes I'm not very lovable at those times, but God never has bad days. He's never moody or capricious or fickle. He is always the same. He is always constant. We always get in trouble when we doubt God's love. So when tragedy strikes, or when we pray and don't get an immediate answer, or when things do not go our way, Just remember that God's love for you has not changed one little bit. That's a stabilizer in life. Secondly, God's word never changes. God's word never changes. The principles and the commands are timeless. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever." The Bible is always fresh. It is always relevant, up to date, never obsolete. Anything that man writes eventually becomes obsolete, dated. I've been told that at the rate of scientific discovery, by the time a science textbook is printed, it's already obsolete. Look at the computer manuals that we have that we bought with the last program that we bought. In a couple of years, they're useless. It's almost comical to read old Psychology Today magazines. All the therapies of not too many years ago that were the answer and the cure are now in disrepute. Man's ideas don't last. You need to build your life on something that is more stable and permanent and unchangeable than the current fad or therapy or the thing that's now in vogue. In 20 years, whatever is in vogue today will be nothing. It won't work. It's amazing what people believe. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." See, there's never been a book that has been more attacked, criticized, ridiculed, burned, and outlawed than the Bible. And yet today, all of those monarchs, dictators, and fanatics are all dead. The Bible is still around. It has stood the test of time because His word never changes. Psalm 119, verse 152 says, "Long ago, I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever." The principles, the laws He lays down are to last forever. Alan Shepard was the very first American astronaut in space. And he was asked just before he got into that space capsule, "What is the one thing you're depending upon most in this space venture?" His answer was classic. Alan Shepard said, "I'm depending on the fact that God's laws never change." What if the rotation of the earth was inconsistent? What if gravity reversed every other day? When He made the whole universe, He established some universal laws. They never change. They never have, and they never will. The reason we can study science is because God's laws are predictable. Through physics, we can study some verifiable facts of life that do not change. And just as God has established the universe to operate on physical laws, there are moral and spiritual laws that God has set up that we cannot ignore because they do not change. If we ignore them, we have chaos. You remember when you were a kid and you were playing a game with a bunch of other kids, and there was a kid in the game that kept changing the rules? How in the world could you win? The only way you can win in life is to play by the rules that God has set up. God has established some laws and principles and commands in his word that do not change. There are some absolutes. Some things will always be right, and some things will always be wrong. It's not a matter of opinion. Contrary to popular opinion, God does not invent new rules for every generation. He established them to last forever. Satan's temptation is always to get you to question God's word. The very first temptation was Satan asked Eve, "Did God really say that? Did he really say you couldn't eat of that tree?" He's getting Eve to question whether God really, really meant what he said. Today, we don't say that much. Satan doesn't tempt us that way because it's too black and white. Now Satan has put a little twist on the temptation. The phrase I hear again and again and again is, "That's your interpretation." When you're driving down a road, how many ways can you interpret S-T-O-P on that little red sign? The Bible says, don't have sex outside of marriage. That means no sex outside of marriage. The Bible says every seventh day you take a day off. Then every seventh day you need to take a day off from your work. You know, in history, there were times when they tried to change that. During the French Revolution, they tried to make it every 10th day. And I understand that early in the communist regime in the Soviet Union, they also tried to do that. They tried to change the day and make it the 10th day. And they found out very soon that it didn't work, that people started to get more and more tired and less and less able to accomplish their jobs. God knew something about us. There's no interpretation needed there. It's black and white. Fact is, God's word has not changed. Jesus says in Matthew 5:24, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Jesus said there are two ways to build a house. You can build it on shifting sand, or you can build it on rock. If you don't build it on a solid foundation, the whole building will eventually shift and tilt and fall over in time. I've seen some of those barns out in the country here. God says if you build your life on the current fad or therapy, whatever is being pushed by psychology today or Cosmo or whatever, then you're building on shifting sands, and your life is eventually going to be unstable. And when the changes come, changes that are inevitable, you're going to find disaster in your life. If you want to have stability when the stresses of life pile it on, then you've got to build it on something that never changes. God's love for me never changes. God's word never changes. His way will always be the right thing to do. It may seem hard and unreasonable and unpopular, but it is always the right thing to do. Doesn't that simplify life? Instead of asking, who should I believe? By the way, how many of you believe everything that you see on TV or on the internet? You know the old phrase, if it's on the internet, it must be true. How many of us believe that? How many of us read the Bible and give time and attention to reading God's word? The point is, do you want stability in your life? Stability comes from a life on God's unchangeable word. You see, other people's opinions might be as wrong as mine. But if I build my life on something that will never, ever change, it will be far more consistent 5, 15, 50 years from now. And here's a secret stress stabilizer. If you want to have more stability in your life when you're under stress, memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture. Memorize God's Word. Start filling your mind with things that never change. And then when you need them, God can bring them to your mind. You don't always have a Bible with you. Fact is, if you want stability in your life, you've got to base it on things that do not change. Make that decision today if you haven't done it already. The third thing is that God's purpose for my life will never change. God's purpose for my life will never change. No matter what happens to you, or in you, or through you, it will never, ever change. God's purpose for you will never change. Isaiah 14:24, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as of I have planned it, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will stand. God is at work in human history. History is really His story. God's story. What is the world coming to? It's coming to the very climax that God has planned from the very beginning. I don't know all that that involves. I don't know all that the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. It is coming to the planned climax that the Bible says only the Father in heaven knows. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. Psalm 33:11 promises us His plans endure forever. His purposes last eternally. Now let me ask you, do your plans ever change? How often do they change? Why do our plans change so much? Two reasons. Number one, we don't have the foresight to know everything that's going to happen. Maybe you know now what you didn't know before. Now that you know better, your plans have changed. That's one reason. The other reason our plans change is we don't have the power to carry out the changes that we intended. We don't have the power to carry out the changes that we desire. We ran out of time, we ran out of money, or we ran out of energy, whatever. So our plans change. Now, since God knows everything, and since He is all-powerful, His plans never change. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, God is not a man that He should change His mind. There are times in the Bible when it seems God changed His mind, but it wasn't God who changed. It was people who changed at His behest. God told Nineveh, if you don't repent, I'm going to destroy the city. And who was disappointed when He didn't? It was Jonah. Jonah was hoping that the city of Nineveh, who was an exceedingly evil city, would be destroyed. But because they repented, God saved the city. And the city still exists today. They repented, and God did not destroy the city. Someone wrote, God never changes His will, but He does will a change. The point is this. Habakkuk 3:6 says, His ways are eternal. Here's the point. God does not have a plan B for my life or for yours. There is no plan B for you. No plan B. Think of the biggest mistake you've ever made. Think of the biggest sin you've ever committed. Think of the thing that you regret the most. Then think of the biggest disappointment that you've ever had caused by someone else. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Good or bad, God can somehow turn them around and bring good out of them. A cherished example that I have is Jacob. Jacob in the Old Testament. Jacob was a scoundrel. He was a liar. He was a thief. He was just a bad guy. And yet God still worked with him and worked with him and finally drew him to himself. And God established the nation of Israel out of Jacob. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Good or bad, God can turn them around and bring good out of them. And I've heard people say, I made this big mistake, for now I've just got to settle for second best. There's only one problem with that. The words second best are not found in the Bible. You are still on plan A. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and asked his forgiveness for your sins, even if you have gone astray, you're still on plan A. God knows everything that's happened is going to happen in your life. And God's plan is to work for it all for good in your life. Even the mistakes and the sins you commit that are wrong and bad, God can teach you from those things. Yes, we do suffer the consequences of bad choices that we make, but you can learn many, many good lessons that will be helpful to you and to others in the future. I've mentioned before the program I just really enjoy listening to. It's called Unshackled. It's on WRVM. The local Christian radio station here. I think it's out of Surrey, but I listen to it on my radio. I can get it. And the stories of the people on Unshackled are just astounding. Some of the most evil people that you can imagine that God uses and draws to himself, and he uses them. I encourage you to listen to it. It's on Monday. This is an ad. Okay. Monday through Saturday at 9 p.m. on WRVM. And I'm not getting paid for that. So what is God's plan for your life? John 10:10 says, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. He wants you to enjoy life, to live it, and not just exist. God's plan for your life is for you to become like Jesus Christ, to think like he thinks and act like he acts. That's his plan for you and for me. It all begins with the relationship. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Something else that has never changed is God's plan for salvation. For 2,000 years, there is only one way to get to know God, and that's through Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus said, I am the way. Not I'm a good way or a better way or even the best way, but the way. And his plans never change. God's invitation to you has never changed. God wants you to establish a personal relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. In your life between now and when you die, however long that is, you will experience many stressful changes in your life. The question then is, how are you going to respond to those changes? You can't really prepare for them because you don't know what they're actually going to be. How are you going to handle them? What's going to be your life's source of stability? In conclusion, I want to give you three absolute facts to remember when you're under stress. They become the spiritual anchors for your soul in a changing world. Number one is God will never stop loving me. God will never stop loving me. Never. He won't even love me any less when I really mess up. I won't understand it all, but no matter what he's doing, God is acting toward me in love. That's a stabilizer. No matter what happens, God loves me. And secondly, God's word is always right. His word is always right. The directives that he gives to us here in the Bible are always the right things to do, even if it's unpopular or unpleasant. It is always the right thing to do. That is a stabilizer in life. And then thirdly, God's purpose for my life is bigger than my problems. His purpose for my life is bigger than my problems. A problem cannot change God's purpose. It has not changed God's purpose for your life, and it will not change what he wants to do in your life. Psalm 125:1 encourages us, those who trust in the Lord are as steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance. That's stability, unmoved by any circumstance. Security, stability, and confidence come from being anchored in an unchanging God. When all around us is changing in this throwaway society that we live in, nothing remains the same, but God and his word never change. Let me ask you a question. Are you stressed out because of all the changes that you've been going through? Has it been a bit hectic lately? Are you feeling a little uptight about the uncertainty of your future? Would you like a rock-solid foundation on which you can build a stable life? Then I invite you to pray these three things. As they're on the screen, you might like to pray within yourself. God, I believe that you love me. I accept your love gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I commit myself to learning and obeying your unchanging word. It seems to follow it even when it seems hard and unpopular. I want to follow because I know it's the right thing to do. God, I want to commit myself to cooperating with your plan for my life. Help me to learn from the mistakes that I've made. Please forgive my sins. I want to do what's right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And dear Father, for those who have prayed any of those prayers, that you, Lord, will confirm within them that you are with them, that you love them, and that you never change. They can depend on you at any time and in any circumstance, no matter what has happened. Because you know what's going on.